Kayo Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Kayo Radha Madhava Gopi Dana Balava Yirvanadari Gopi Dana Balava Yirvanadari Dodananana, Braja Dana Ranjana Yasodananana, Braja Dana Ranjana Damunati Anachari Kamunatira Vanacharya Jayo Radha Madhava Kunjavihariya Jayo Jayo Gopi Dana Balava Yirvanadari Jayo Gopi Dana Balava Yirvanadari Yasodhananana, Braja Dana Ranjana Damunati Ravanacharya Damunati Ravanacharya Yasodhananana, Braja Dana Ranjana Yasodhananana, Braja Dana Ranjana
Bhaktivedanta Swamiraj, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Gaur Premanande, and all glorious to the Assembled Devotees, all glorious to Sri Guru and Sri Guranga. Namo Vishnu Vidaya Vishnu Prista Vidaya Srimade Bhaktivedanta Swamiraj Namane, Namaste Sarasvam Deve, Gauravani Vijarne, Nirvishesha Shunivari Paskatya De Siddharna. Om Aganatamanandasya Gananjana Salakaya Chakshur Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sva Padantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Parakamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamscha, Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raganatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shivasakam Svitamscha Hey Krishna, Karna Sindo, Dinabando Jagatpate, Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute, Tapta Kanchena Gorangi, Radhe Brindavaneshari, Brishubhanu Sutta Devi, Pranamami Hari Priye, Vanchakalpa Turvyascha, Kripa Sinuvyevacha, Patidanam Bhavanevyo, Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Shri Advaita Gadadhar, Shri Vasudhi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya,
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya,
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 22. Bali Maharaj surrenders his life. We'll begin with text number 21. Shri Brahma Vacha Bhuta Bhavana Bhuteshu Deva Deva Jaganmaya Munchainam Rita Sarvasvam Nayam Arhati Nigraham. Lord Brahma said, O well-wisher and master of all living entities, O worshipful deity of all the demigods, O all-pervading personality of Godhead, now this man has been sufficiently punished. You have taken everything. Now you can release him. He does not deserve to be punished more. Purport. When Lord Brahma saw that Prahlad Maharaj and Vidyavali had already approached the Lord to ask mercy for Bali Maharaj, he joined them and recommended Bali Maharaj's release on the grounds of worldly calculations. Text 22. Te nena data bhur loka karmar jitas chaye niveditam jasarvasvam atma vilakyava diya Atma Viklavaya Diya. Bali Maharaj had already offered everything to your lordship without hesitation. He has offered his land, the planets, and whatever else he earned by his pious activities, including even his own body. Text 23. Yat parayo ashata di salilam padaya dorva ankurai api vidaya satim saparyam api uttamam gitim asau bhajate trilokim dashvan aviklava mana katam artim richet yat padayor shatadi salilam pradaya Dorvankurai atividaya satim saparyam. Apyutamam gitimasau bhajate trilokyam. Dashvan aviklavamana katam artim riche. Yat parayor ashatadi salilam pradaya. Dorvan kurar atit vidaya satim apsaparyam. Apyutamangitim aso bhajate trilokim. Dasvan aviklavamana katam artim riche. Yad parayo. At the lotus feet of your lordship. Ashatadi. A great minded person who is without duplicity. Salilam, water. Pradaya, offering. Dorva, with fully grown grass. Ankurai, and with buds of flowers. Api, although. Vidaya, offering. Satim, most exalted. Saparyam, with worship. Api, although. Uttamam, the most highly elevated. Gitim, destination. Asau, such a worshiper. Bhajate, deserves. Trilokim, the three worlds. Dashvan, giving to you. Aviklava, mana, without mental duplicity. Kutam, how. Artim, the distressed condition of being arrested. Richet, he deserves. Translation purport by His Divine Grace. A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. By offering even water, newly grown grass, or flower buds at your lotus feet, those who maintain no mental duplicity can achieve the most exalted position within the spiritual world. This Bali Maharaj, without duplicity, has now offered everything in the three worlds. How then can he deserve to suffer from arrest? Please repeat. By offering even water, newly grown grass, or flower buds at your lotus feet. Those who maintain no mental duplicity can achieve the most exalted position within the spiritual world. This Bali Maharaj, without duplicity, has now offered everything in the three worlds. How then can he deserve to suffer from arrest? Purport. In the Bhagavad Gita 9:26, it is stated, Patram pushpam palam toyam yome bhaktya prayachati tadaham bhakti paritam ashnami priyatatmanaha. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is so kind that even if an unsophisticated person with devotion and without duplicity offers at the lotus feet of the Lord a little water, a flower, a fruit, or a leaf, the Lord accepts it. Then the devotee is promoted to Vaikuntha, the spiritual world. Brahma drew the Lord's attention to this subject and requested that he release Bali Maharaj, who was suffering, being bound by the ropes of Varuna, and who had already given everything, including the three worlds, and whatever he possessed.
Yat-pādayor aśatādī śalīlam pradāya duravankurār ativīdāya śatīm sapāryam apyūtamam gitimaso bhajate trilokīm dāśvāna viklavam anakkatam ārtīm rīcet.
By offering even water, newly grown grass, or flower buds at your lotus feet, those who maintain no mental duplicity can achieve the most exalted position within the spiritual world. This Bali Maharaj, without duplicity, has now offered everything in the three worlds. How then can he deserve to suffer from arrest?
Mam Vishnu Vidaya Krishna Pristai Buday, Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tanamane, Namaste Sarasvatam Deve, Gauravani Pujarne, Nirvishesha, Shunyavadi Paskatya De Sutarne.
So in this verse, the word ashatta means the without mental duplicity. The word shatta means cunning. So ashatta means without cunning, without having some other idea in mind. Generally, the neophyte devotee, he has some other ideas in mind. Although he may render externally devotional service, but he has some other desires other than pure love for Krishna. Of course, when one doesn't have an experience or the experience of what pure love is like, then there's no reason to desire it. In other words, something that we don't know the value of, we won't be willing to pay the price for. Therefore, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Tesham satatam yuktanam vajantam pritipurvakam dadami buddhiyogam tam yenamam upayanti te. Here, Krishna says, devotional service is gradually awarded according to one's desire to have it. But the price, even the preliminary entry fee for devotional service, is some willingness to follow instructions and to do it with some enthusiasm. Just as in the material world, everyone is enthusiastic for some kind of sense gratification. Every living entity has some special type of sense gratification that one is very enthusiastic about. For those in the mode of ignorance, for instance, the prospect of having the ability to go to sleep over the weekend is a great boon. If one hears that he can rest for 25 hours one day, then he thinks that this is a great benediction. And for others, having the opportunity to eat as much as they want, or have as much sex life as they want, etc. These are great boons. Unfortunately, human life is not meant for these things. Therefore, Krishna is so kind that for those who desire such benedictions, he awards different species of life. Just as if one likes to eat delicacies, then he can take the body of a fish, and there are so many little delicacies on the bottom of the ocean or on the top of a hook that one can eat. And if one likes the idea of sleeping, then he can take the body of a bear, and he can spend 6 months a year sleeping. No worry about alarm clocks or people coming by and disturbing you, the family waking you up, because the whole family's asleep. You don't have to work. Nothing. And if one likes the idea of sex life, then one can take the body of a pigeon, has sex life 20 times an hour, and be fully in full force. So Krishna has awarded so many different types of bodies according to one's desire to enjoy sense gratification, and every living entity is very enthusiastic about that type of sense gratification. The bear never thinks, why am I so lazy? Why am I wasting my time like this? Maybe I should do some exercise or something to wake up. Maybe I should do some stretching rather than to sleep. He never thinks like that. He thinks that this is a great opportunity to sleep for 6 months. Similarly, the different types of animals, like the hog, he never thinks, why am I eating these disgusting things? What would my mother say? No, he thinks that this is great. This is a fantastic menu. The more the better, etc. But human form of life has the opportunity to make a different choice. That is, to choose a different variety of, a different possibility. That is spiritual life. But if one is not very conversant or experienced in transcendental knowledge, then even he takes to the process of devotional service, he still thinks it's another form, and it's an opportunity to increase his material enjoyment, especially at first. And if his material enjoyment does not increase by the process of devotional service, he becomes discouraged. Why didn't Krishna fulfill my desires? What is the value of this devotional service? I'm missing out on the important things of life. Just as one of Prabhupada's early disciples once wrote to Prabhupada, my dear Swamiji, you're denying the basic necessities of life. And what were those basic necessities? Intoxication, and especially illicit sex. That I'm wasting my life, I'm growing older, I'm 21, and I haven't experienced every type of sense enjoyment. How can I go on with this Krishna consciousness movement? So one who mistakes Krishna consciousness as a vehicle to achieve varieties of sense gratification, when he finds out that Krishna is not supplying these varieties, he becomes disappointed. But here it's, so this is called mental duplicity. One is externally posing himself as a great devotee, as trying to advance in devotional service, but within his heart, he actually doesn't have faith in the process. He doesn't believe that the real goal is to achieve some kind of spiritual existence. He thinks the goal is to achieve a better standard of material existence. Therefore, when one knows that the goal is Krishna, then he is situated in a better platform than those who don't have faith that the goal is Krishna. But even if one has faith that the goal is Krishna, but if one is addicted to the fruits of his activities, then he's said to be acting in karma yoga. In other words, one may believe in Krishna, and one may within his heart accept that I should obtain Krishna consciousness, but still one is addicted to sense gratification. And the means to achieve sense gratification, namely fruit of activities. And when he knows that the goal is Krishna, but he's addicted to mental speculation to try to understand Krishna, then he's said to be acting in jnana yoga. One who sees the futility of acquiring material goods, material assets for sense gratification, but still one may become addicted to trying to understand the intricacies of devotional service. Just like, for instance, One may, it may be a necessity, for instance, to know how to fix your car if you want to get to your destination. So you may study so many books on how to fix cars, how cars work. But once one achieves the destination, then all the knowledge about how to achieve, how to fix the cars, and how to get it running has no value. Similarly, the knowledge about how Maya ensnares the living entity in the material world, how to get out of Maya, etc., etc., what is Maya, what is her address, what does she look like, what kind of food does she like, all this type of knowledge, in the beginning, may have some value towards liberation, but one who takes the Krishna consciousness in all seriousness, most of this knowledge has no real value. But one may be interested in this type of mental speculation, or even philosophical speculation. But if he knows that the goal is Krishna, gradually he becomes purified. And finally, when one sees Krishna completely in full consciousness, or Krishna consciousness, then he's said to be acting in bhakti yoga. Just like the birds, the bees, the gopis, the flowers, the trees, everyone in Vrindavan, they actually didn't know so much about who Krishna was. They didn't know Krishna as the super soul in everyone's heart. Even if they did know, they didn't take it very seriously. All they knew that Krishna was a very nice boy in Vrindavan. But because they loved Krishna unlimited with all their hearts, therefore they were already beyond liberation. So for that reason, they didn't have to study the Vedas. They didn't have to figure out how to become free from material entanglement, how to perform sacrifice. They were already on a platform beyond liberation. Therefore, the goal is, somehow or another, to understand how to love Krishna. If one can even offer, as it says here, a little leaf, a fruit, a flower, some water to Krishna, if it's done with some feeling to please Krishna, then the result is that one makes spiritual progress. Other types of progresses may be there by rendering devotional service, but spiritual progress is made when one tries to reciprocate with Krishna with some devotion. Just like a businessman or a father, he may have millions and millions of dollars, but so many people may be trying to please him. People may be sending him gifts in the mail. You know, dear John, you're a good guy, here's a gift. But he's not very much impressed because he knows that the person sending it's more or less bribes people are sending. Because he's a very influential person. Therefore, everyone is sending him so many presents and gifts, but the idea is that they want something in return. It's like a bribe. On the other hand, if his child offers him a 2-cent piece of candy with some feeling or love, then the father becomes very pleased and is willing to do anything for the child. Whether it's a businessman or the Supreme Personality of Godhead or even a devotee, everyone basically is hungry for love rather than for some material remuneration. Just as when Krishna was eating Govardhan Hill, or he was eating the offering made to Govardhan Hill, and there's one place called Aniyor. I guess Aniyor is, she's not here now. Aniyor, does anyone know what Aniyor means? What's that? Yeah, give me more. So Krishna was crying out, give me more. Although he had eaten some lakes full of sweet rice and mountains of halava. I mean, it was a real offering to Govardhan Hill, not some. You know, it was rooms and rooms and rooms filled with prasadam made by the Bridge of Asis. So many kachoris and samosas, laglus, sweet rice. And Krishna ate it all in a moment. And he said, give me more. So all the villagers, they all went back to the homes and they emptied out everything they had. And then Krishna ate that in a moment. So they were all in perplexity. Here, they performed the Govardhan Puj. They offered everything they had to Govardhan. And he wasn't satisfied. He wanted more. And they had nothing left even to offer to Indra, who was certainly going to become very angry. So they didn't satisfy Indra, and they didn't satisfy Govardhan. Therefore, the whole thing appeared to be a failure. Luckily, Balaram figured it out, and he got one tulsi leaf, and he put it on Govardhan's plate, and Govardhan became satisfied. So why is it the tulsi leaf? Because Vrindadevi, she offers everything with such affection and love that Krishna becomes satisfied. Similarly, when Krishna went to arrange a peace with the Kauravas in Hastinapur, he appeared before them explaining about how the Pandavas were willing to just take 5 villages. But Duryodhana and his relatives, they were not very sympathetic. And they refused this peace offering coming from Krishna. At first, Duryodhana was thinking, let me try and bribe Krishna. If I can bribe him, maybe he can come onto our side and then we can finish off the Pandavas very easily. Previously, there was one general, a king, he was coming to join the Pandavas, and Burishrava, and he wanted to join Yudhisthira Maharaj. But on the way, Duryodhana arranged all kinds of entertainment and housing for his soldiers, an Akshahini division of soldiers. And during the travels, Burishrava was thinking, this must be Yudhisthira who's making all these arrangements. Duryodhana was a very clever politician. And finally one day he said, whoever has made these arrangements, I'll give him whatever benediction he wants. So then Duryodhana showed up and said, guess who? It was me. So then he asked Burishrava and his Akshahini division of soldiers to join him against Yudhisthira. So he was obligated to do it. Similarly, Duryodhana thought, let me go and offer Krishna so much entertainment, nice housing, nice food, etc. And this way I can bribe him and he'll come on my side also. But Krishna didn't eat anything, he didn't say anything, etc. He didn't accept anything that Duryodhana was offering. Instead, he came to the assembly and offered peace according to the terms of the Pandavas, which Duryodhana refused. But he thought, if Krishna doesn't come to my side, then I'll arrest him and put him in prison. And that way, I'll be able to easily vanquish the Pandavas. So Krishna, knowing at the precise moment when they were going to arrest him, he expanded himself into one of his universal forms. So at that time, the entire universe was in the court of the Kauravas. There was Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, and the lotus flower, and millions of billions of planets floating in the assembly, and etc. So the Kauravas thought, now is not the best time to arrest him. That's called Maya. I said, wait a few minutes, when he calms down, then we can arrest him. So Krishna immediately left, and he went to the house of Vidura. And Vidura was so ecstatic to see him, that immediately he wanted to feed Krishna some prasadam. Unfortunately, there was only bananas present. So Vidura, in his ecstasy, began to peel the bananas and throw the bananas away and offer Krishna the skin. So because it was offered with so much love and devotion, Krishna very happily ate the skins of the bananas. They're quite nutritious also. I don't think Krishna worried about that. So after peeling some bananas and throwing them away and offering Krishna the skin, Vidura suddenly realized what he was doing and then started to give Krishna the actual bananas. This reveals that Krishna is interested more in the love and devotion than he is in the offering. Somehow or another, if one can offer something to Krishna with some feeling, then Krishna will accept it. And the result is that one becomes eligible to go back to the spiritual world, where that's the only thing that one does there. One is constantly engaged in loving exchanges with Krishna and his devotees, offering love to Krishna. So if one thinks, oh, this is too hard a job, I'd rather stay in the material world and break bricks. You know, it's too strenuous offering my love all the time to Krishna. So the fact is we're offering our love at every moment to the material energy, and we're getting very little in return. The only thing we're getting is kicks from the material modes of nature. But if one offers even a little love to Krishna, then Krishna reciprocates unlimitedly, and one's life becomes completely auspicious. But as it says here, one has to become without duplicity. One has to become without ulterior motive. Otherwise, it's not possible to actually manifest pure love. If one still is convinced that there is something to be gained in the material world, something of some value, and mental speculation and material remuneration for one's service, then it is not possible to manifest one's love fully, at least towards Krishna. One's love will be directed towards the object of his meditation. Therefore, the conclusion is that one should try it out a little bit, try to give a little love to Krishna, and see if Krishna doesn't reciprocate. If he doesn't reciprocate, one hasn't lost anything. But if he does reciprocate, then one has discovered something very valuable, namely pure devotional service. So although it may be very difficult to theoretically understand how Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, how he's managing the material world, how his illusory energy works. But one can surpass all of that if simply one agrees to offer some kind of service with some feeling or affection towards Krishna. And the result is one will be able to understand everything automatically. And at the same time, he understands Krishna. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Are there any questions? Well, her criticism is, you have to understand what her criticism is. It wasn't that she was really criticizing her husband. She was more or less appealing towards the Lord, as it says in the previous purport, to let Krishna go, to let him go. But she just worded in such a way as to make it appear that it was somewhat of a criticism. It says, she was actually asking for mercy for Bali Maharaj. She was saying that he's just a little less intelligent, therefore he tried to take your property, but, you know, you should excuse him because he's just less intelligent. Our real business was to ask for mercy, not to criticize Bali Maharaj. Not that afterwards Lord Vamana said, would you like your husband back? Him? What do I need him for? He's a less intelligent demon. It wasn't in that mood. Because she's a woman, therefore she appealed to him for mercy. Otherwise, to try and figure out how Bali did everything right, that she couldn't do. But she could figure out that even if he did everything wrong, still you should be merciful. Anything else? Yes. Yeah, they said, actually, the Nagnapatis used to preach to Kaliya all the time and try to explain that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He should go and render some service to him. But he was too intoxicated by his poison, and he couldn't do it. So finally, when Krishna kicked the sense into him, and he began to realize that I should have listened to my wives before. The wives, they could understand by his facial expression that he was actually repentant and wanted to become a Vaishnava. Therefore, at that time, they appeared and began to pray to the Lord. Otherwise, if he didn't change, they would have just let Krishna keep on kicking him until he kicked some sense into him. Anything else? So we'll stop there. Thank you very much. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande Devote.